for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening. Welcome, everyone, to another edition, or another season, I should say, of the Powell County Sports Network sports show here on WSKV 104.9. This is the Powell County version with Dave and Ken. So thanks for joining us. This, again, is the first show of the season. So we will be on most Wednesday nights. Sometimes we'll have games where, like, for example, next week we'll have a soccer doubleheader on here in place of PCSN. We'll be doing the soccer matchups at 6 o'clock. So just stay tuned. Wednesdays, normally our start time is going to be 6, if not preempted by a game that we are covering. So thanks for joining us tonight here on WSKV, and we'll hopefully to have Coach Mike Jones later in the show to talk Powell County football. But before that, let's just go ahead and get started. Again, we'll mention that we do have still have some COVID going on, which is originally why we started the show, not why we're back on. But COVID numbers are still up. I won't even say any regulations anymore because I'm not sure what they are anymore. But we do have high cases. I think there's even staff out. We're probably going to see a little influx of kids and stuff here at the beginning of the season, this being a school year especially. But other than that, we're going to kick it off with some sports news.
Yeah, and on one hand, just as far as going back to the COVID situation, you know, a lot of times now people are not necessarily reporting.
Correct.
To the health department, so therefore, whatever numbers you see at the health department, you can probably multiply triplet. That by about, yeah, three to seven times, yeah, you know, those numbers or whatever else. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully everybody continues to, you know, wash your hands and sanitize and, you know, not so much keep your distance. But on one hand, I'm still trying to wrap my head around how you even get it in that regard, right? Yeah. I think, and obviously now, as far as any guidelines or anything, things are kind of just almost a wash. It's like it's out there, but we're not following everything we did prior.
I still think you have the 5 days of quarantine. Yeah. If you're positive, if you're in contact, there is no protocol anymore. Just watch your signs and symptoms, and if you think you get it, then you quarantine. If you test positive, then you're supposed to quarantine for 5 and wear a mask for 5 after, I believe, is what the protocols are. But like I said, we just don't keep up with them like we did. Obviously, the hospitalization rates and the death rates are significantly down, so I think that's why we don't hear as much on the news.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. All right, with all that being said, we'll start off with girls' soccer. We actually tried to have their game, the doubleheader, girls-boys, last week and ran into some NFHS technical issues and therefore was not able to broadcast that, but we will be on the air hopefully next Wednesday. As the Pirates and Lady Pirates will play host to Estill County. And hopefully during that time, too, that we can talk to the boys' soccer head coach, Bernie Vasquez, to get him on during the girls' match, and then hopefully we can get Victoria Spencer, the girls' coach, during the boys' match, and hopefully kind of have that conversation with them while the action is going on. But the girls have started off really well this season. They defeated Menifee County all the way back on August the 9th, 7-0. So really nice score coming out of the gates. And then we were able to watch the game last week against Model.
Very good game.
Yeah, really good game. Yeah. Very competitive. Ended in a 2-2 draw. And then the Lady Pirates ended up defeating Mason County on the 15th, 3-2 in a shootout. And that was in the 2A classic, or, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, 2A state tournament, which we play it in regions. And just kind of while we're talk about 2A, we'll break away for just a second. We as a school have joined the 2A state championship. It's been something going on for the last, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years. This is the first year that Powell County has been involved with the 2A state championship, which means not every sport has to compete, but you have the option to compete. So your school pays a fee And pretty much everybody pretty much has to fall in line because you are kind of contracted in. So even if you don't want to, I think there's a, you know, you have to play. And we are in a district with, I guess it's the entire school, with Mason, Greenup, Rowan, I believe. Estill is still in our district in 2A. And there's, I believe, one other team that I just can't remember who it is.
But is it Morgan?
I don't think it's Morgan. No. Morgan's still 1A.
May even be Paris.
No, they're 1A as well. I can't think of who it is, but it's somewhere.
Their schedule.
Pal Estill are together, and then we kind of go up around, like I said, is Mason, Rowan, Greenup. I think there's one more up that way. I think there's six, or maybe just be the five teams. So I do know, like, we start our opening day in softball, for an example. We schedule, or made a schedule with Greenup County. We play them the first round. If we win, we then play Mason later on the season. So it's something that everybody's going to have on the schedule, except for football. They're already classified. And they're the same classification as Estill County, which we play this week. We'll talk about that later. Same classification, but it's a different – since they're already set, there is no 2A state championship for football, per se, for this version. There's already a 2A state championship. There are actually 3A in football. Those 3A state championship, they're already in, but Pal Estill are in different districts. So football is excluded from the 2A format.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea, to be honest with you, to actually have an extra something to kind of shoot for, in a sense. I think it definitely add a lot more competition. And then, obviously, when you have an opportunity to play different teams that you're not used to playing, I think that bodes well for everybody as well.
Yeah, it's nice to see the 2A. I'm kind of glad we're in it. You know, it's just we're in a very tough district. Now, the soccer win with the girls, you got to kind of applaud that. That's a pretty good win. But I really think this team, we saw this team play last year, and just a little bit back to the girls' soccer, this is a team that has been coming for two or three years. This team has been competitive for a couple of years now. Now a bunch of these girls are seniors. This is their time to shine. This is kind of their best shot that the girls have had in a while to be this competitive. And I really think a lot of good things is going to come with this girls' soccer team. And, you know, Victoria fell into a good situation with this team. And with her knowledge of the game and what she's doing, the young energy that she has and the amount of work and time they put in, because we saw them working, you know, during our softball season. They're out there working with soccer. Boys are out there working with soccer with Bernie. And you gotta tip your hat to those kids. You know, they put in the work, and they're showing the benefits for that right now.
Yeah, 2-0-1. Yeah. Again, in soccer, you will have a draw, and that's why they have two wins, no losses, and a draw on there. But the competitiveness with this girls' team, you can tell that they almost know kind of instinctively, and obviously through practice, you know, you kind of know where somebody's at and hustling and that kind of thing. They missed a couple opportunities, even going back to that model game, had a penalty kick opportunity and just ended up missing it. Sometimes you just don't hit it properly and didn't even – the goalie didn't even get it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was just far left. But sometimes there's pressure on there. You know, all of a sudden you see that wide open. It's almost like making a free throw, in a sense, or a field goal at the end of a game with an opportunity to win. Sometimes that added pressure or whatever else can kind of get to you, and you just don't quite hit it like you need to. But still, nonetheless, 2-0-1, very impressive way to start.
And to win a shootout. They won a shootout against
Mason
County.
Yeah.
So, again, the shootout is the overtime period, and I think everybody gets a shot. I think it was 5-2 in the shootout, so Pal County did really well to win that shootout and win the game 3-2. So kudos. They'll advance on the 2A state championship now in district play, and they'll advance. I think they play tomorrow night, don't they?
They do. They actually play host to Paris.
Okay, so they are at home tomorrow. So come out and watch girls soccer tomorrow night versus Paris, and you'll see what we're talking about. They're a really good defensive team. They're really strong on the defensive side of the ball. So – again, in soccer, it's kind of like basketball, even football, really any sport. If your defense isn't strong, it's just going to be an ugly game. But we've got a really strong defense in soccer, and got a lot of quick athletes. We've got some really good defenders that actually love defense. So you have to have that as well. So it's fun to watch the girls play right now. They're playing well. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I think that you can there's a lot of energy with that group. And it's just they're fun to watch. So come out tomorrow night, support them at the Balcony High School.
Yeah, and I will say this, too, as far as, like, the draw that they ended up having with Model, during the regular season, you don't go overtime, and right. You don't do the penalty kick, so therefore against Mason in the tournament.
Yep.
And during district play, when we get to that as far as the tournament side, you will go to extra time.
So next Wednesday when they play Estill County, which is a district game, since that's a seed game, I would assume, I don't know this for sure, during regular season, is that a tiebreak?
During the tournament.
So it's just a regular season game.
Right,
so they could end that game in a tie.
Or it could go to overtime, you know what I'm saying, but not necessarily the penalty kicks. Again, most of the time that's reserved just for the actual tournaments because at that point a draw is a draw. You've already played an hour plus, you know what I'm saying, of time or whatever else. And obviously in these temperatures, you know.
Two 30-minute halves, right?
40.
Two 40-minute halves what they play in high school soccer. So I tell you what, it's which is why, you know, we talk about having guests on, don't take away from the play. It's just really difficult just to kind of keep it when the ball's in midfield. There's really not a lot to talk about. So it's nice to have guests on. During that time, we can actually discuss maybe what's going on the field with those coaches or what's going on with their teams.
And it's one thing if, again, to kind of plug the NFHS app, it is a subscription-based app. You can get any game, for that matter, that has a school that has the NFHS capabilities, subscription-based. But anyway, you can see the video of that, and we're doing audio, but a lot of times, too, we're actually doing radio with that video, even though the video or audio will be coupled with that. If you subscribe to that, we're still actually calling the games based on radio in many respects.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you know, it's kind of, if you're watching on
like
video. And although,
but I will say, though, it like tomorrow night is a game we're not broadcasting. But you can still watch the game on the live feed on your NFHS app if you buy. Now,
right.
I will also say, at the end of the year, based on subscriptions by from your home team that you choose, there's money comes back to the school. So just to throw that out there, some of that money comes back to Powell County, the school system, to help cover the cost from what they call is ticket loss because you have the NFHS where you can watch, but you can't just watch Powell County. There's like, most of the
countless
teams we play now are with the NFHS system, and you'll see a lot of folks go this direction, and you could not only watch games in Kentucky, you can watch them nationally. You can watch anywhere you want to watch, whatever it doesn't matter what season it is. I mean, you can watch softball in Florida, baseball in Florida during the fall season. So there's a plethora of sports that you can get. I do think, from what I understand, the price went up.
$79, I believe, is what it
season,
is now.
So,
and that's for a year.
Yeah.
So you get everything for a year.
So it went up $30?
You can buy it monthly if you want to.
Yeah, which I think the best deal, though, is still the yearly rate.
Absolutely, right.
Because, like I said, if there's a JV game going on, you can watch it. We're usually not doing the JV game. So, like in volleyball, last night we covered the game. You could have watched the freshman game and the JV game prior to our broadcast going on. You could have watched it on the live feed. So just throw that out there. If they turn it on, we'll change that.
Right.
If the feed is turned on, but it's probably a good benefit, especially if you just can't get out, or if you're a little older and you don't want to maybe come in contact with folks. It's a really good thing to have.
And we try to balance our coverage as well on the radio, if you will, as far as being able to cover girls soccer, boys soccer, volleyball, and obviously football coming up. Girls and boys basketball, and then boys and girls baseball and softball.
Yeah,
so
now, Estill County also, we have to work around our schedule with Estill County folks broadcasting. Now, they usually don't do as much volleyball and soccer as we do, but they may start doing more of that. So just to kind of throw that out there, if you want to watch an Estill County broadcast, it's all on the NFHS app. Just go there and watch if that's your desire. But like you said, Friday night football, we'll mention that real quick here. Football scheduled to play at Estill on Friday at their grand opening of their new complex. Not sure everything is completed, but as far as I know, the game is still scheduled to play at Estill County. So you will be listening to the Estill County Sports Crew or the ECSN network at the, on the NFHS app and on WSKV. So Ken and I will not be broadcasting, but it will be the Estill County crew doing that game.
Yeah, and just to kind of reiterate that point, that anytime we host Estill, we'll be the broadcasters. Anytime Estill hosts that particular crew, because they have like five, seven guys.
Who knows?
You know, exactly. They have a whole huge crew in a sense. But anyway, anytime Estill is hosting, it will be that particular crew. Well, now let's switch over real quick to boys soccer. Boys soccer had a rough going so far to start the season. They are 0-3 overall. Head coach Bernie Vasquez, young coach, young, you know, he was just out of school a couple years ago, it seems, you know, but still doing a great job as far as the fundamentals and everything. But they started off the season, ended up losing to Menifee County 4-1, followed up a loss to Bourbon County 10-0, and then lost to Jackson City, which is a district game, 7-1. But going back to the Bourbon County game, again, that was the game that we were supposed to have had last week. Ended in the first half, a 10-0 run rule, if you will. And what's interesting about that is Bourbon County was a well-oiled machine. That's probably, honestly, of all the soccer games that we've covered over the years, that Bourbon County team is probably the best team that I've probably ever seen at the high school level.
Well, I know it's the best team I've ever seen at the high school
level. Yeah, I mean, efficient. I mean, they're passing, everything. I mean, everything about them, defense. An interesting team, that's for sure, as far as that.
And I'm not going to knock our kids, because I think in boys soccer is more of a rebuild this year. And I think kind of we kind of expect this going into this season was more of a rebuild. But to me, I don't think we could have asked for a better coach for this group with Bernie.
I agree with that, yeah.
Tremendous amount of soccer knowledge. So, you know, before people beat him up because he's 0-3, understand it's a little bit of a rebuild here for boys soccer, and I think Bernie is the person for this job to really build this team into something that what he wants it to be in the future. So I'm not sure they're going to put the wins together as much this season, but I think in the future it will pay dividends because of with Bernie bringing his knowledge back to Powell County soccer.
Well, and ultimately it's up to the players, and we've mentioned this, you know, for a long time. The players, like if all of a sudden you and I are on opposite teams and there's a loose ball, one of us is going to have to out-hustle the other one in order to get to that ball. If all of a sudden, if I'm just kind of taking my time and I don't give that burst, and all of a sudden you get there and you beat me, now all of a sudden you potentially have an easy layup or an easy shot on goal or whatever it might be. We have to learn in order to out-hustle the opponents.
Yeah.
That's what Bourbon County was doing time and time again. Every time, it didn't matter if it was offense or defense.
And that team is just—they're special.
They're 3-0.
They're going to be special this season. Yeah. I mean, if you're anyone out there with a soccer team and you want to see how you are, maybe try to call Bourbon County, because that team is ready.
Yeah.
Again, that's the best. It's the best soccer team I've seen in my career of doing soccer. And tell you what, maybe better than some of the, well, I can't say international play, it's not fair, but they look like a team that was in a different league.
Agreed.
Yeah,
yeah, I would like to see them go up against, you know, I mean, we're kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek with this in a sense, but I'd almost like to see them go up against an Alice Lloyd, you know what I'm saying?
Model level college.
Just to kind of see as far as the competitive nature. But again, you know, that hopefully our players learn something from that team. And you take something and say, you know what, I'm going to go that little extra effort in order to make it work, in order to kind of put things together.
Yeah, but for a couple of years, though, the boys have had a pretty good run. But now they graduated several seniors last couple of years. And it just eventually, when you are top loaded, which we'll see some of the things, same things, maybe even with the girls soccer, losing a ton of seniors after this year. But they've got some really good young players. But still, when you lose, you know, 5, 6, 7 starters, that's tough. And that's something that you have to deal with. That when you go through these sports, you'll have ups and downs. You'll have little bumps in the road. You may have periods of years where you're just not as competitive. You just got to, we got to do a better job with our feeder systems. We've said that time and time again. I think the city, and I want to commend them real quick here, because they're putting some facilities together. We've got soccer leagues going now. at the City Park. Got a lot of baseball leagues going now at City Park. And I think they've even been talked to maybe doing some basketball stuff there too. I'm not knocking any of that. I just wish we had more softball stuff going on that we could do. And even maybe even football with the rec league. I know we have our little league football, elementary football. I know we have that, but sometimes you wish you had just a different season. Maybe you could play seven-man football in the spring or something. You could do something different with
agreed
some of these kids getting out there and getting a little bit more work in the sport that they want to play. But I do feel that a lot of times here, you've got so few kids. We say we got a lot. We got so few kids in specific sports. If you play all season long with a certain sport, you're left out of those others. And there's a fine line between working hard all season or all year or working during your season. There's a fine line because, you know, if you rob a couple players from this team or a couple players from this team, you're really kind of lowering your talent pool for every sport.
Well, and I think out of a roughly population of 600 students at the high school,
seven probably,
less than 200 probably play all the sports collectively.
You're exactly right.
And so that would be nice to have those numbers. When you're talking up, you know, a third of the student population, it'd be nice to have a half or more.
You know, and I'm sure you have 200 competing.
Probably not.
It's probably more of 140, 150. We're talking about girls and boys sports. So I think it's probably went down, the numbers have. When you look at the volleyball team last night, their numbers are probably even down from what they've been in the past, but they still got 20-some kids, which is good. Their numbers are strong. Soccer numbers are solid. They're not great. They could have, you know, four or five more kids, but sometimes you can have too many. You know, you need 17, 18 kids out there on each soccer team. You need, you know, in baseball, softball, at least 18, 20 kids. If you want to try to run two programs, at least that number. In basketball, at least 15 kids on your varsity level. You need probably 45 total. Football, we looked at the roster, only 36 kids on the roster for football. We need 60. So a lot of our sports are under where we need to be. We just got to do a better job of getting these kids an opportunity to be able to succeed and be able to participate. And I know a lot of kids maybe come up for football, for example, and we'll talk to Mike later when he comes in. But participate in football, you come up as an eighth grader. Maybe you played all the games in middle school. You come up as a freshman, you're not playing. Maybe you give it up, but it's a little too early. Hang with it.
Right.
It's a different level. You know, seniors going against freshmen is really borderline dangerous.
Right, yeah.
That's a special kid to be able to compete against juniors and seniors when you're that young.
And I think that is what happens. I think collectively, even as you go forward in any of those sports, yep, a lot of times coming in as a freshman, you think you've been told all the time you're the superstar, and now you're going up against better competition.
Somebody 3 or 4 years older than you.
Yeah, and has the more experience.
Yeah.
And because of that.
And physically bigger. I mean, it's very difficult for those kids to compete, especially on the male side. On the female side, it's a little bit different, but it is what it is. So we haven't taken a break yet. I forgot.
Well, we'll finish up with boys soccer. So the boys are actually at Wolf County tonight. They should be in action now. And then they will actually be hosting Paris on the 22nd. And then next Wednesday, the 24th, Estill will be at Powell's, and we'll have that game for you.
So get out to support your Powell County boys soccer team as well. Again, girls in action tomorrow, boys in action tonight at Wolf. Probably a little bit too late to drive up there, but maybe not. They probably just started at 6, so you probably get up over the second half if you want to go now. So, but again, get out and support your local teams. We'll take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Back in a moment.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Hurt your ankle at practice? Or maybe you caught that stomach bug from your friend at school? Come to Clark Regional for the fastest and most effective care you can get from only the best of doctors. So, don't worry when you sprain your ankle making that crowd-pleasing flip. You'll be back on the field in no time.
Advancing quality care in our community. Text CHEER to 606-663-2811 to find out how you can support your Powell County Cheerleaders.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a Level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. We were a break behind, so we actually took two breaks in one.
We can be long-winded at times.
We were. I was. I just kind of, you know, we're getting back in this. It's only been, a month and a half since we've been on here, but still, a month and a half, you get a little rusty on what you're supposed to be doing out here. So we shouldn't be. I've done this for a long time now here in the studio, maybe 12, 13 years. So I should be better after what I am. Sometimes you get out of habit, and it's just hard to remember some things.
Well, I mean, even as far as us even calling games live, it takes a while to kind of get used to that, routine, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, to me, remembering how to record an episode should be easy at this point in time. But there's things that you forget when you don't do it on a daily basis. Game time, we can go. I forget to give my roster sometime, like last night, but. It is what it is. So Powell County Volleyball, we'll go there next. Powell County Volleyball played last night and played well for at least the first set. Had some times where they kind of fell back against Bath County. But I tell you, there were moments of brilliance on the floor. And I really think this team, with the hard work they put in the offseason, is really kind of paying off. These teams did a lot of weightlifting. They did a lot of plyometrics. They did a lot of volleyball work. I know in the spring, I know we probably lost maybe a couple kids that play both soccer and volleyball and softball. But man, they're reaping the rewards for their effort. I think this team could be right where they were last year in regional competition. They got to clean up their serving. That was one thing I thought last night was just maybe a little weak or consistent. That's one thing they've done well for years it served. The returning was pretty good. Their passing was pretty good. And their hitting was probably just as good as it's been in a while. So a lot of good things we're seeing, but they got to clean some of the stuff up.
Yeah, the first set, they ended up winning 25-13. I think they jumped out to an 11-4 lead.
Oh, yeah, blowout
just
time.
Just kind of cruised from there and was impressive in that one. But now you go to set number two, and now it's a little bit closer. All of a sudden, Bath County takes an early lead, and now it's a seesaw battle back and forth, back and forth. And it really wasn't kind of towards the end until Powell – able to push ahead.
Somewhere 18-18, 19-19, somewhere in that range where Powell County finally went over the mark. Same thing in set three when it was 20-20. And then Powell County goes on a 5-0 run there, I think.
To close it out,
Tharp was serving. But it's just, you know, and Mallory came on after the game, Mallory Porter. She hit the nail on the head. We kind of let up. And those are some things you really just, out of this team and – the one thing we've had to say in the past little bit for this volleyball team is they have a let up. If they see somebody is maybe not be able as competitive, they have a little bit of a letdown, and you can't do that. You can't let another team back into a game. And I thought last night we let Bath County get a little confidence toward the end of set one. That continued over to set two and set three.
And Bath County has a really nice team too.
They do.
You know, they were digging on the floor, you know, trying to get make a lot of plays. Sometimes, obviously, it didn't go their way, but they were very competitive. They'll probably be a good team even going forward for themselves.
You know, and I'm saying all these things, and it's game one. So, yeah, they're not going to be at their best either team last night. This is your opener. But I'm telling you, the promise is there. They have the potential to go right back to where they were last year, right back to the regional tournament. And hopefully advance further. I know I don't know where they're ranked preseason. I didn't see any of those rankings yet, so I kind of thought that is where it is. When they play again, they play tomorrow.
They actually play tomorrow at Montgomery County.
Oh yeah, that's right. Mallory told us that. Back to Montgomery tomorrow at the barn. That'll be a test. Traditionally, Montgomery's pretty strong in volleyball. We'll see how that goes. You know, Palco's got some size, got some good servers. They got some kids that are probably not playing like I would expect it to play, but what they have out there, and Jasmine, I thought, did a really good job of rotating some kids in throughout the match.
Especially in the third set.
Especially in the third set. Try to figure out what she has. So,
even in pressure situations.
Yes.
Right? I don't think that necessarily factored in her rotation at that point. As far as it being a close competitive game, as much as it is, I'm going to go on and put you in there and let's see what you have and give you that opportunity.
There was a player, too, that didn't even play in the third set that played the entire first and second. And they didn't go back to him. It was more like, we're going to try these guys and see how it goes. And that's good for the future because you're getting more kids, a little bit more opportunity early on to see what you've got. You know, around match, 8-10, you should be starting to figure out your rotations, who you want, who you can trust, who you can depend on. In a tough situation, who you want on the floor at the time. So I thought Jasmine did a good job with that last night, plus her coaching staff. And Jasmine's another one that's a young coach coming in and doing a good job. You're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of – here at Powell County, you're going to see a lot of young coaches and local. I'll have to throw that in there as well. A lot of young local coaches mixed in with some of us old Grizzly people like myself and Mike Jones when he shows up. But we're the old Grizzly guys. Everybody else is really, you know, fairly young starting out. Even Frank Spencer, one of the old guys, he's still young. He's still one of the young coaches out there. So we've got a lot of young folks. We got to support them and trust that they'll get the job done. Don't give up on them too quick.
Yeah, and they're doing good things. Again, it takes there's a process involved in it. Obviously, with Jasmine Thorpe in volleyball, she's instituted a new style of play. They kind of transitioned last year, and now they're kind of fully involved in this particular style of play. The girls are catching on more. I think they have it down a little bit more. If you remember even last year, at times it was like, you kind of looking at them thinking, okay, what are they doing? And now the team has figured it out and those players. And one of the things I noticed, too, about this particular team, again, just through three sets – that even when they were down, you never felt like they felt like they were down. They still felt like they were right in it the whole time. And sometimes when you can get down, your body language and everything kind of start, you know, you kind of start leaning over. Yeah, you're not as pep as you once were.
At times, we've had players where you can identify that real quick. Really, we just got one. That's Mallory. I'll call her out a little bit. But she rebounded well. After she got a little bit down there in, what, the second, maybe the third set. You knew. I could watch her, way she was acting on the floor. She wasn't happy with herself. But after a couple big points that she got, she's right back to the happy, I call it the happy Mallory on the game. But when she's that person, she's hard to handle. So we got to keep it more, and I call it neutral. You know, you don't want to be too high, too low. You want to be neutral most of the time if you can. It's kind of a golfing thing, I guess, and emotionally. If you play with a lot of emotion, you're going to have ups and downs.
And as an athlete, you should have high expectations of yourself.
Of yourself, yes.
Right? And therefore, when all of a sudden you're missing a shot or missing a putt or a free throw, and it's just like, you know, it's like, I'm better than that, and therefore you can let that get into your psyche. Now you start doubting yourself, but then all of a sudden you get a great shot or something, all of a sudden it's like, that comes back. And as you said, you almost have to maintain that level mindset and not allow a kill shot or something like that in order to get you too high that all of a sudden now you don't concentrate like you would have otherwise, and you know, now you've missed a shot and it kind of starts affecting you.
Well, it's kind of like this. If you're going to be just a stud athlete, you're probably borderline arrogant.
You have to be. Not to use the word arrogant, confident.
No, I'm going to say arrogant, because how many successful athletes do you see that aren't? We would always call them arrogant. And I know arrogant has a negative connotation.
That's why I say confident.
I know. But arrogance is belief in yourself above and beyond.
A little swag.
A lot of swag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these players believe in themselves tremendously.
And expect high things of themselves.
Yes.
And then collectively as a unit.
And then when you get that, I mean, I'm sorry, forget it, because these cats are usually pretty good. They're piranhas. They're going to always be in attack mode. That's just who they are. It's a personality. You have to have a little bit of that to be successful as an athlete. If not, you're just going to be mediocre. You've got to have a little bit of that swag, as you want to call it.
You're exact. And on one hand, that's the difference between someone who is in that mediocre set and someone who becomes a champion. Right, having that swag, having that attitude, that arrogance about you, saying, not only am I in the place and I've done everything I can to prep and prepare myself, you've done the same thing as my teammate, and I collectively, let's put it all together and let's go out and let's do this.
Yeah, people sometimes will say these guys are not even fun to play with. I would argue with that. You know, Magic Johnson, I would say he's a little arrogant, but he will share the ball. He's a good teammate. His teammates believe in him just as much as he believed in himself. LeBron James, I'm sure, has a little bit of that arrogance. Sometimes he does come off negative, but he does believe in himself strongly. There is no – I've listened to – what's the kid that shoots the ball so well for Golden State?
Seth Curry.
You sit there and listen
to him. Steph. I said Seth. His brother's Seth.
Yeah.
Steph.
You sit there and listen to him talk. You can tell he's got a little confidence, a little attitude about him. You know, he was overlooked for a lot of years and thought low of and now one of the best three-point shooters maybe of all time in the NBA. He can dish it out. So you don't see guys that are not confident at that level. They're just full of themselves, and they probably should be because they are that good. You know, golf's easier to see that. You can see it more in golfers than you do anywhere else. It's all about them because it's all about them. There is no team concept. It's just an individual out there playing golf. So they really have to have a lot of beliefs in themselves to be successful. And I think that carries over into other sports. If you're a pitcher and you think you're going to strike somebody out, you got a better chance striking them out.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a mindset.
Oh yeah.
Definitely a mindset. And therefore when you're stepping onto the court, onto the field, whatever the playing surface might be, if you don't think you're going to win, there's no sense in even taking the court.
No.
And regardless of what the name is on the other jersey, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've shared this story before, but kid next door to me, he was about 3 years older than me. We played basketball one-on-one. He would beat me all the time. But I, at the same time, I kept getting better, and eventually I flipped the script and was able to beat him. But it still took me. I didn't go on the court every day thinking he's going to beat me. I always knew today's going to be my day, and I'm going to beat him. Did it take a while? And eventually that day did come, but I still had that mindset thinking I'm going to beat him, even though it didn't necessarily go my way. Sometimes it doesn't go your way, but you still have to have that mindset that you're going to win.
And the difference being is if you're that good, people recognize it. But what people don't recognize, and if you think you're that good and you're not,
don't be delusional.
That's where a problem may arise. You know, if you keep thinking I'm really good, and you were, say, playing basketball, you were 3 for 20 in a game.
Stats speak for themselves, and everybody can have an off game. But
if you have consecutive, or have back to back to back, most of your games are 3 for 20, 3 for 20, 3 for 20. Maybe you should stop shooting, because it may not be your niche.
And find another way to be a contributor.
Correct. So, sometimes a false belief in yourself is dangerous. A true belief in yourself, and you're that, and you're pretty good. This is the reason I say that high level athletes are the ones that get away with being arrogant. If you're a mid-level player and you're arrogant, you're going to be knocked back down. But the top of the crop, they're going to stay right there more than likely, because they get away with being a little arrogant because they are that good.
Well, not only that, but I'll guarantee you, they've probably practiced more. They stayed longer in the gym or on the field or ran longer,
unless
sprints
you're Allen Iverson,
whatever.
Right?
Just he's talking about practice. But I'm just saying, in general, though, those people continue to work on their craft and their skill set in order to be better. And it goes back to, and I know I've said this before as well, Kobe Bryant.
He was practicing.
Jay Williams, you know what I'm saying? They were practicing pregame or whatever else. And all of a sudden, Kobe was determined that he was not going to let Jay Williams stay on the court longer than he was. So he outworked him, even in warm-ups, if you will, probably during the day, you know, well before the game or whatever else. But he was going to stay on that court and continue to practice, because it's like, you're not going to beat me regardless.
I love to use Tiger Woods in golf. 15 years ago, before all these injuries and things piled up, when he stepped on a golf course, you're finished in second. There's not a lot of golfers believe they could beat Tiger. When he stepped on the golf course, he thought he was going to win every tournament. So that's what I'm talking about. If you've got the kind of talent, you can have that arrogance. That's fine, because he used it to his advantage. People shut down when they've had to play with Tiger. He loved it. And that's why I think at the time, that's why he was the best player in the world. I don't think he was skill-wise better than maybe some of the other guys. In his head, he knew he was going to get it done, and he made you question yourself.
Well, even as a NASCAR reference, Dale Earnhardt Sr., right?
Exactly.
The Intimidator. What people knew that you were expected to get bumped and all that kind of stuff throughout it, and he was determined to win. But then you have somebody named Jeff Gordon come along and says, you know what? I can respect you, but I feel like I am just as good as you, and I'm going to prove that I'm just as good as you. And, of course, he goes out and wins multiple championships.
Well, I think Dale Earnhardt was probably one of Jeff Gordon's biggest role models.
Absolutely, yeah.
And would say that.
Yeah.
And you would think they hated each other, and really – mutual respect.
Right.
So, if Dale Earnhardt bumped you, he probably respects you a little bit, because it's a little give and take. He probably expects a bump back.
Right.
But not a lot of people
would have done that.
Did that to Dale Earnhardt.
Right.
So, I think people maybe give back a little and they could do the same thing. I can respect that, because that's what I do.
Right.
You know, that's why he was an intimidator. And again, those guys are few and far between. You'd love to see the greatest play, which we've been fortunate, in some sports you see some of the greatest players ever. And I think in our era, Magic Johnson in basketball is probably one of the greatest players I've ever watched. Kobe, LeBron, I think, is up there. I have to say it, even if you don't like him, he's pretty special. You know, in baseball, you get to see these guys play. You know, Barry Bonds, there's no doubt, talent-wise, he was as good as anybody I ever watched. You question whether or not he used the PEDs or not, it's a different story. But, yeah, these guys that were special were just, they're special. You know, Ken Griffey even can come off a little standoffish if you're just in the public. Now, if you're just a player, he's probably going to love you to death and try to help you out. But as far as meeting with people, he's a little standoffish. And, Pete Rose is very arrogant. And,
But again,
not fun to be around, you know,
but
really.
But even with Pete Rose, okay, Charlie Hustle, right? He was going to out hustle you,
everybody.
Whether it's stealing bases, whether it's a bunt, he's going to run down the line. It didn't matter what it was. He was working hard each and every play.
Because he had to.
Because he had to. And sometimes when you don't have the skill set, you have to work a little extra to be extraordinary.
How many
that's
times?
The difference.
In today's baseball, we don't even talk about a guy that gets 4,000 hits. That guy's kind of, who cares? How many home runs did you hit? We need to go back a little bit. That guy's getting the base hits, batting 300, batting 320. You know, now 260 and 40 home runs will get you paid. You know, back in Pete Rose's day, if you're only about 260.
You're on the trading block.
I mean, really. I mean,
see if you can't get some value out of somebody at that point.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. We're in eras. It's times are different. And these guys are bigger, stronger, and faster than ever were before. And I get it. And hitting balls farther than they've ever hit them before. Pitchers throwing harder than they've ever thrown.
But I guarantee those guys
have changed.
But those guys are also putting in the time. And that's ultimately what it is. You have to put in the time, and going back to the Bourbon County team, you can tell those guys put in the time, and even on the field when they were passing, all that, they knew. They automatically knew, I'm going to kick the ball to you, and I already know you're going to be there to get that ball on the other end because we've already played, and I know how you operate, and I'm taking in the whole field, and I'm going to want to make that pass, and you're just going to outrun it, get it, and go one-on-one against the goalkeper.
Stay in your lanes, be fundamental, do what you're supposed to do.
That's exactly right.
Regardless
of the sport.
Regardless.
Again.
Stay in your lane. Do what you're supposed to do on a given play, and it'll probably work out.
Believe in yourselves, believe in your teammates, and do everything you can to be prepared.
I know for years, some of the girls always question Ken Jones. I don't know why you were questioning Ken, because I thought he was one of the better coaches I ever worked with. But I'd always tell kids, if you trust.
The process.
Trust your coach. Trust what he's trying to get you to do. You'll be fine. But as long as you're going to question it, you're going to have problems. So trust it. See what happens. Go out there and see what it's like if you do just do what you're supposed to do. It will all work out in the end. So you got to trust the process. You got to think someone that is your coach, regardless of what you think they can do, you got to trust what they're telling you to get whatever they're trying to get you to do work. If not, it doesn't work. So. You know, we have a lot of banner out there going on this coach and this coach and this coach. They're not as good. They need this. Listen, if we'll put as much time and energy as far as supporting our coaches versus putting them down, your kids hear all that too. So
true.
If you're saying it at home, they're not going to respect your coach. How much more ineffective do you want that coach to be? And you're part of the issue. I mean, that's just kind of the way
true,
it is.
True, and you can't rest on your laurels.
We're talking about that's any job, that's any position. Doesn't have to be a coach. It could be a teacher. It could be a superintendent. It could be a mailman. It doesn't matter. You have to trust they know what they're doing, and you have to support that. And if something happens they don't, then, yeah, you can go and do something then. But
if you're not going to put in the time, right, if you're not going to put in the time and the effort in order to improve yourself, that's just like if a kid decides not to play a particular year and comes back the following year, guess what? Those kids that you thought you were better than the year before, they passed you up.
Probably.
Yeah, right. They've probably passed you up, and you can't expect to come in and be a starter when...
There have been situations we've had like a super athlete not play. When they come back, they're still pretty good. So if they were that far ahead of you when they left, they're going to probably be at least even with you when they come back, but that's a rare occurrence. That doesn't happen very often when it's like that, but you're right. Usually when you take a year off of something, you're way behind by the time you come back.
Well, and you have to stay sharp in many respects, and, you know, we don't necessarily talk about cross country a whole lot in a sense, but if some of these athletes would actually run cross country, their overall cardio would be much better. So therefore, you're using that during the off season in order to improve your distance running. Now, so when you're on the court or on another field, now at that point you're much better than everybody else because you put in the time to condition your body to withstand, you know, some of those things. You're not going to tire as much as you did before.
Yeah, and you know, just like these football guys, if you don't put the time in the weight room, it's going to be a long season. And I think more and more every sport. It's going to be that dependent. You know, used to you think with baseball, we don't want our pitchers to lift. We don't want our hitters to lift because basketball, didn't want our shooters to be lifting. These guys are lifting every morning. They're working out even before a game. they're working out after, they're getting a lot of work in it, and they know how to do it now. They got professionals in there with them to be able to go through the process. They know what to do, the trainers can just kind of leave or whatever, but the players know what they have to do to keep up, and that's what they're doing. That's why they're bigger, stronger, faster than ever before, is because they've got a routine set now where in Major League Baseball, 30, 40 years ago, you play till 11, you might go to a bar till 2, you sleep to noon, you get up and you go to the field by 2. These guys are going back to the field now by 9 o'clock in the morning to start working out. It's a whole different mindset. It's diet, it's exercise plans, it's all this stuff is going in to make those $30 million contracts. There's a reason these guys are getting paid what they're paid. If they're professionals, they're putting the work in. If not, those guys don't last too long.
Well, and even in practice, you can cheat yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Let's just say, line touches in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at that point, you could sit there and just kind of be lax with it and kind of go through the motions or whatever else, but that's not going to help you if you're being lax in your practice. You're going to be lax during a game, and or you're not going to be prepared for the game. So, therefore, yeah. Even though it's not fun, even, to run the stairs and all that kind of stuff, it's not fun, but if you do it right and you put yourself in that position, it's going to pay dividends. Again, don't cheat yourself, because ultimately you're cheating yourself and your teammates. Put in the full effort, therefore that'll turn into,
in the fourth quarter, in the seventh inning,
at the end of the game,
when you're a little winded, just think about how many times you didn't do what you should have done.
Correct, and you have no one to blame but yourself.
That's exactly right.
Accountability.
It shows up. So we'll take another break here on PCS and Live. Back in a moment.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless has a plan to make your life simpler. It's called Forward Pay. No contract, no credit check, no problem. Plans start at $19.99 a month and includes unlimited talk and text. Add 3 gigabytes of data, $29.99 per month. 6 gigabytes, $39.99 per month. Or take it to the max with unlimited data plus. Just $89.99 per month with 50 gigabytes of high-speed data. All the features of postpaid service without the long-term commitment. It's Forward Pay, because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Close to 1 megabyte per second. Past 50 gigabytes of use.
Metagreen Appalachian Music Park in Clay City, Kentucky presents Crow Fest, celebrating the legacy of J.D. Crow on August 25th, 26th, and 27th, featuring the legendary Paul Williams and Doyle Lawson, Ralph Stanley II, and the Clinch Mountain Boys, Authentic Unlimited, Sideline, Terry Balkum and the Dukes of Drive, Mo Pitney, Matty Murray and Darren Wasson, and the Spencer Boys, with a New South reunion show on Friday and Saturday night, featuring over 20 different artists. Tickets on sale now at crowfest.net. All 3 days in advance, $65. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. So Mike, Coach Jones hasn't shown up, so we're just kind of keep on rolling here.
I probably should have texted him a reminder. That's my bad.
Well, I mean,
we get busy and get sidetracked.
You know, when you're coaching,
obviously he's prepping for Friday.
Getting ready for Friday, and it's more important than coming on a radio talk show. But we're not upset with Mike. We just kind of keep some things rolling here, which extra filler time for us. But we got a lot of different people. Coaches working. Of course, you still got Julie, I guess, doing cross country, doing bass fishing. You got Kevin Lawson with the girls golf, Ryan Neal with boys golf. All those folks have got started already here in the fall, and we haven't got into basketball season yet. But when it flips over, again, your head coaches, Rob Berrien for girls basketball, Alan Martin for boys basketball, and then when you flip it over to spring, James Clapp and Steve Caldwell. Doing the track, or at least last year they did the track. I'm assuming they are this year. Myself with softball, Frank Spencer with baseball. Well, yes, we got in the spring. Is that it?
That is it. Yeah.
So that's
track,
what you
track
got.
Track and field and baseball, softball.
That's what you got going on at the high school level. Now at the middle school level, right now you're playing girls basketball, I think. Football is going on. Not sure. Does volleyball, they play in the fall, or they play in the spring. I'm not sure the middle school level, so if somebody can
it's kind of off a little bit,
share that
sometimes
with us, let us
sports.
Know. I think in volleyball they play in the spring, just
that's
like in soccer.
Yeah.
I think they may play in the spring as well. So I know basketball and softball, baseball are always kind of hooked up, but you know, girls basketball, those kids are always able to come up and play high school ball because their season's over. The boys, when they play basketball, they play a little bit later schedule, so they can only come up toward the end of the season to play. So it's a little bit different schedule to middle school to get more sports in. And again, it's the same issue. It's you only have so many kids who usually participate, and you're sharing the kids. You know, and cheerleading is a different one that it pretty much runs from, well, they start off also in August and run all the way through at the end of March. You know, they're working hard. So they got the probably the longest season with cheer. So their routine is normally in December. So they're going right now as well. And they'll go all the way up to their competition season. And then past their competition season, finish up the basketball season. So and they usually end up, the last thing they probably do is probably their in-game competition with the district or the region, wherever they can make it to.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things happening in a sense as far as, you know, even the high expectations with the different sports. And as we mentioned, you know, when you have new coaches coming in, things are a lot different as far as practices, even sometimes terminology, things like that. So there's always that, you know, opportunity in a sense to learn something new, to get a different perspective. And once they kind of put things together and everybody buys into that, good things will happen. So hopefully with the football team, again, they play on Friday at Estill County for the season opener. And then they'll be back next Friday, the 26th, where they'll play host to Breathitt County.
Be a tough matchup. And again, you've got folks coming down from Breathitt. They're going through a terrible situation with the flooding, as well as those counties east of Jackson, you know, Perry and, you know, you've seen the tragedy there, Buckhorn schools, Knott County is really devastated, Clay County, Leslie County, Pike County, all those schools that are up there that, if I forgot to mention somebody, I apologize, but man, the devastation they've went through in eastern Kentucky from the flooding has just been horrendous, and the, you know, loss of life was awful, but, you know, you look at some of these schools and the facilities some of them had, and they were all underwater, and, you know, it shows you the importance to me with athletics, with all this going on. These kids still want to get out there and participate. They want some county pride back by putting the best product they can on the field or the course, wherever they are. You know, these kids want to get out there, and this will be their kind of their time away from what's happened. So, you know, these kids get out there, they're going to work hard to prepare, and hopefully a lot of those kids, Eastern Kentucky, have got a lot of chips on their shoulders when they play this year. They're playing for more than just their names on their jerseys. They're playing for the entire communities right now.
Yeah, I would say probably the Breathitt County football team, they would probably not be a team that you'd necessarily want to see.
No.
Because at this point, they are probably going to be that wildcat, if you will, and they're going to be so determined. And like you said, even that pride, like if there was ever a point for the team to rally around each other, right, and put it all together, and that whole team, and we're going to work hard, you know what I'm saying, to make sure we are successful because of everything that's happened. Sometimes it's those rally cries like that, and through unfortunate circumstances
you can see the water up. You know, this is up to the lower levels of the bleachers there. It got into their indoor weight facility, their indoor training room. It was just, and that just using that one school with Breathitt County, and it was just devastating what happened. So I guarantee you the team that you're going to see is going to be really have an extra edge, and you've got to understand it. And it's nothing personal. It's just that's going to be what they have for school pride and county pride and community effort. So I do think a lot of the neighbors have really kind of chipped in. The money that's been raised is just tremendous. But it doesn't get these houses back. It doesn't get the water back on. I know I saw a post today that we're still months away from getting water turned back on certain areas up in eastern Kentucky. So it's hard to fathom. You know, here we are back to – we've been normal the entire time here, and just 45 miles away, it's just devastation.
Yeah, and I think on one hand, realizing some of the video footage that we saw and realize how many times we drove back and forth in some of those areas on our way to games and back. It just unbelievable, you know. Again, it's so devastating, but hopefully those communities, you know, continue to rally, and obviously using sports as that catalyst, in a sense, to go on and let's go on and prove something.
Yeah, I think some people don't kind of miss it and maybe don't get the importance of athletics in a community. And this is the kind of time to me athletics really shines, is times like this for Eastern Kentucky. It's just, man, you just got to keep those folks in your prayers and thoughts. And remember, I know Mr. Brewer just took a van load of stuff up yesterday, and I think he took it to Knott County. But remember, there's people hurting all over Eastern Kentucky. So if you've got time, I know there's, check out the list, what they need. Don't take stuff they don't need anymore. But they're going to be needing stuff for a while. And it's not just like tomorrow or the next day, but for months to come, they're going to be needing things. So please remember the folks in Eastern Kentucky in your thoughts and prayers, and open your pocketbooks if you can, and support the folks in Eastern Kentucky. Got a couple of really good friends of mine that lost everything, lost homes and vehicles, and one particular friend had up there lost six neighbors. Not just houses and homes. Six of his neighbors were lost there in Breathitt County. So that brings it back to reality. You know, I went to the board meeting last night, we got all these issues going on, and I'm thinking, okay, folks, let's take a back seat here. It could be a lot worse.
Absolutely, right. And sometimes things like that, unfortunate, through those types of tragedies and circumstances, it awakens you, right, to realize some of these things that we bicker about, for lack of a better way of putting it, is that it's not as important as what we're bickering about or arguing or disagreeing on or whatever else. But sometimes we need to put those things to the side and again, rally. And I think as Kentuckians, I think we've done quite well collectively for ourselves in the Commonwealth, even going back to Western Kentucky with the tornadoes that came through. And now obviously the flooding, I think we rally amongst ourselves, and I think that's what makes us so special.
Yeah. You got to think, Governor Scheer and even President Biden came in, but all the senators and the representatives have been around. So they have shown support. Now, whether or not getting that money out there, getting that, that's to help the people, that's the main thing. And again, it's most of the time it's going to be people helping people. That's just the way it is here. And it brings a lot of people closer together. So hopefully we'll see that. And like I said, hopefully we forget too soon and worry about petty stuff versus real stuff. And we need to get it together. We're going to step away for another break here. Back with just a few closing words here on Sports Talk Live. I'm sorry, PCSN Live with Dave again.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. We're going to recap again the upcoming schedule on WSKV and even the schedule at Estill County for Friday night. And after this, we'll step away.
Okay, so football plays Friday night at Estill County to open up their season. Looking forward to that in many respects. So the game time is 7:30. Again, this Friday, Powell at Estill County in football. And then they'll be at home as their home opener coming up on the 26th, where they'll play host to Breathitt County. So that's basically where football is. And again, we'll have all of the football games throughout the season on those Friday nights. Kind of finish things up, they'll be at Bath County, hosting Prestonsburg, at Perry County Central, at Lewis County, hosting Fleming, at Pendleton County, hosting Mason, and then they'll end the season, they'll host Owen County.
Got some long drives in there, don't we?
It's going to be...
So, again, all those games will be available on NFHS app, or at least most of the games will be available on NFHS app here at Powell County. They all will. The game will be ECSN broadcast on WSKV on Friday. Next Friday will be us here. Rest of the games will be with Ken and myself doing there on WSKV.
And then soccer, boys soccer, they are at Wolf County tonight, currently playing. They will play host to Paris on Monday. And then on Wednesday, a doubleheader. The boys will play Estill here at home, an 8 o'clock scheduled start time. And then for the girls in soccer, they actually are playing host tomorrow against Paris. And then on Monday, they will be at Frankfort Christian. And then their game against Estill County next Wednesday, 6 o'clock start time.
So as far as Ken and myself, you can join us next Wednesday. It'll be our next broadcast here on WSKV and on the NFHS app. That will be with boys and girls soccer.
Oh, wait a minute. I actually, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then next Friday. Volleyball. Yeah. And while you're doing that, I'll just go ahead and recap this. Next Friday, we'll be on the air with Breathitt County here at Powell County High School next Friday. So two broadcasts here from Ken and myself. Estill County will be broadcasting the game on Friday. That's if the game doesn't get moved, and then we'll switch it up a little bit. But that's depending on whether they get some things finished over there. I think they will at Estill County for the grand opening. But I think Ken's gotten out of the volleyball.
So volleyball, they are at Montgomery County tomorrow night, 7:30 start time. And then on Monday the 22nd, they will be at Breathitt County, 6 o'clock start time. And then on the 26th, which will be next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, they will play host to Lee County.
First district game, right?
Yep.
So we'd like to wish our teams good luck, whether it be golf, volleyball, soccer, and football. And if they're running cross country this early, wish them good luck as well, or even fishing. I'm not sure when that is, but all of our athletes out there, please support them. Get out as much as you can to support Powell County Athletics. And if you would like to sponsor WSKV and our sports coverage, just get a hold of Ethan Moore here at WSKV for what is available and what those costs are. So till next week, this is Dave Faulkner with Ken Simon saying goodnight here on PCSN Live.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
For joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. 104.9.
Preset us on your radio.
Pickup Country.
Welcome to the Tim White Bluegrass Show.